Pier, Michigan. Hi, Marion.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How may I help you?
Well, perhaps I missed the program that you had on woodpeckers and how to get rid of them, but I'm calling because it's become my problem, not just my neighbor's, who it really is. She has woodpeckers on her lovely house.
Mm-hmm.
She has gone to Florida, and now when I look out the windows, I see flapping pieces of foil, I see dangling snakes, I see little whirligigs, and I see woodpeckers. Can you help me help her get rid of them or have them fly to Florida where she's at?
Right. Okay, so there's a couple of ways to handle this. One is on the areas where she's got the whirly birds and that kind of stuff, I've often given the advice where you take, let me ask you this, Marion, is the house wood? It's obviously wood sided, right?
It's wood, yes.
Okay. So if you take some small galvanized nails and you place them on that side of the house where the woodpeckers are coming, then you're going to take some fishing line and twist it around the nails. The nails are going to stick out, right, a couple inches from the house. So you're just kind of tacking those nails in, and you're going to create a little crisscross of the webbing to keep the woodpeckers. In other words, they're going to see the fishing line. You may not, because it's so thin, but they don't want to get tangled inside of it, and they'll go somewhere else. So the webbing, it doesn't have to be this super thick webbing. It's just got to be enough, like, okay, go right across where you see them poking the holes and back and forth a few times, and that should do the trick. The other trick is to feed the woodpeckers. And do you know what a suet cage is?
Oh, yes. All I have them dangling here.
All right. Mm-hmm. Take a suet cage on a, like a plant hook. You know how you can get those plant hooks that you put in the ground? Hang a hanging plant. Put that in the middle of the yard and draw the woodpeckers to that. So if you feed them, they're like, I don't need to go peck on this house because, A, I don't want to be caught up in that wire, and, B, I'm going to get my food over here.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that birds, like rodents, are creatures of habit. And so if we can get them to, if we can retrain them to go to a different spot, then they'll go somewhere else and hopefully not come back and forget about your neighbor's house.
Okay. Now, I see some of the holes, but what if they go to other parts of the house?
Well, you need to pay attention to that. And once, if you see that, then you need to do that crisscross idea over there as well. But I think that if you first handle this side where you see them causing the problems, and then you pull the suet there off to the side, you know, 10-20 feet away from there, I think you'll solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. That'll be a pleasant surprise when she gets back
You got it. Have a great
Thank you.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. All right, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back. And, you know, Lindsay, I'm going to send this hat down to Sue. And Sue is in El Paso, Illinois. Hi, Sue. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, how are you? Hello?
Hi, how may I help you?
Oh, I need a new sump pump. My one broke, and I had a standby, so I was able to replace that. But the standby was an old one, and it has one of those on-off switches that are automatic. It's one of those tubular balls, and it raises and it turns it on. Okay,
so it's tethered. It's a ball, and it's got a wire. Okay, got it.
Right, and the old one was one that the turn-on switch was inside the ball, and when it raised, you know, so it was a double. The sump pump itself did not have an on-off switch, and you plug it into that. My question is, now that I'm going to, I always like having a standby, and now I'm going to get a new sump pump, which one is better? And the one that's in there now actually starts before the pipes that are coming into the well, you know, into the sump pump well. The other one lets the whole sump pump well fill. and then it ran longer. This one that's in there now runs a short period of time, but often. What do you think is better?
I'm just trying to follow your description. So the pump that you have in there currently, the switch is actually connected to the body of the pump, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And your old...
And it turns on early.
Okay. That's because the actual switch of the pump is lower in the pit because it's connected to the pump.
Right.
All right.
Correct.
Now, that, if you want to... And let me ask you one other thing, that type of pump that you have. Is it the type of pump where the switch is on the top and there's a little float off to the side? It's a pressure switch?
Yes.
It's a pressure. Okay. And you want to now replace that main pump?
Yes, I do.
I'm just following along. So as far as what the best sump pump is, in my opinion, it's a cast iron Zoeller pump.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that does not have a pressure switch. It has a float, but the float is connected to the top of the pump.
Okay.
So, the same thing that you're speaking of, where it goes off more often, has to do, if you want to limit that and have the pit hold more water, which is fine with me, just so long as what I would do is, before you change that pump, unplug the pump right now or today or even on a rainy day and see where the water stops. Like, what level does the water seek? And put a piece of tape there or something so you can have an idea of that. When you install...
Oh, yeah. Right.
Go ahead.
I know exactly where it stops. It's right before all the pipes.
Okay.
Are coming in.
And how high would you say, or how low is that from the top of the pit, if you had to guess?
Oh, probably a foot and a half, at least a foot and a half.
Okay, so what I would do is when you put the new pump in, pay attention to that, and you can raise it onto a couple of bricks or something so that by raising the actual body of the pump up, it will hold more water and it won't run as often. So you may have to shorten, you know, when you put the pipe on there to connect to the new check valve, you may have to shorten that so that you set it just right. So it's a little bit of planning, but the Zoeller, I think you'll be really happy with the Zoeller pump and where you set that as far as the depth into the pit will be how you control the frequency of when this pump operates.
So it doesn't matter if all the pipes that are going into it, the drainage pipes, are covered or not.
Correct.
Because sometimes it doesn't even go on because I assume the water pressure in the septic well equals the pressure of the drainage. Does that make sense?
No, not necessarily. That's not it. Right. So if it holds a little more water in the pit, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. Good. I am going to get the Zoeller. Thank you.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go to Naperville and speak with Terry. Terry, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
I've got about a 40-year-old house, and I've got the cleanup for the sewer that goes that's in my basement and heads out to the front sewer.
Okay.
And it's got the brass cap on it, about 4-inch brass cap, and I can't get it off. I have tried liquid wrench. I've tried heat. I've tried leverage to the point where I'm now starting to, deform, if mm-hmm. that's the word,
mm-hmm.
the brass. And I'm about ready to take the saw and the... and saw this thing out with the drill and the saw and so forth, unless you've got some other suggestions.
Well, I mean, I think that at this point, you're going to have to ruin the cap to take it off. And Yep. What I would do, buy a new cap so you have that ready. The plumber's trick is that they take a cold chisel, okay? So a cold chisel, and over by the, you just choose a spot where you get close to the threads, but just maybe half an inch in, and you're going to pound with a hammer this chisel into the brass to kind of hook it to try and loosen it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And because the doing a saw will be we have to be very careful here is that cast iron is brittle. I assume it's cast iron that it's screwed into.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's brittle. So you have to be really careful because you could snap that collar if you're not careful enough. What I would do prior to this, have you heard me talk about a lightweight oil called Superzilla?
I have not.
All right, so go to your local hardware store. They probably have a thing of Superzilla. It is a really, really terrific lubricant and cleaner. But what it has over WD-40 is it has capillary properties, meaning when you spray it onto those threads, it will slowly work its way through the threads to try and lubricate that. I would spray that on, give it about 10, 15 minutes, take that chisel on that brass into the brass there to kind of try and loosen it up, and then use a pair of channel locks, in combination if you can, and that should pull that thing off of there. Just be very careful around the cast iron area there, or it's going to be a huge problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. Good luck. We're bumping up against time here. Listen to House Smarts Radio with me, what's my name? Lou Manfredini.
Have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now's the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would deal.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation.
Welcome back.
I'm holding up the bloodstain.
877-213-4-BLUE. 877-213-4-BLUE.
I'm going to have this song in my head all day now. Thank you very much.
You created this. 877-213-4-BLUE is our phone number. Let's get back to the phone lines. This is Linda in Chicago. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
My daughter lives in a 6-unit condo. It's a vintage building. And she wants to have her 3-season room floors heated. And she wanted to know how do you think about that? It's an old building and weak electricity. And the other thing is with solar be an option.
Okay. So she has a 3-season room, and the floors of that 3-season room are what?
Wood.
It's a wood floor, and what's under that wood floor?
I don't know.
Okay. And you said that the whole building is heated, the heat is by electricity?
No. No, she's saying that, the building, she just said that the electricity in the building is weak.
Is weak. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an old building.
Okay. And this 3-season room that you're speaking of, Linda, about how big of a room is it? Is it 10 by 10? Is it 15 by 20?
I would say 10 by 10 or smaller.
Okay. All right. So to heat the floor, it's going to be, it's a little bit of a challenge in something like this. And probably the least expensive installation would be some sort of electric pad that would go on the floor, and then she'd have some covering, some new finished floor over the top of that. But that's running off of electric. Now, a solar option, I don't think would be cost effective. I mean, it would be tens of thousands of dollars to do something like that, because it's not just about harnessing the solar power, but we have to transfer it to some padding underneath there that I don't necessarily know would be the right way to go. Now,
wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're going to do a 10 by 10 area and she wants to heat the floor, then I would have her look into electric pads that are under mount, that go underneath the finished floor, called, there's one manufacturer called New Heat, N-U-H-E-A-T-E.
You say M-U?
New as in Nancy. Nancy, U as in,
okay,
Underwriters Laboratory. New Heat, H-E-A-T.
Okay, got it.
And so that is a pad that you can buy, but I mean, like, to do a 10 by 10 room, it wouldn't surprise me that the pads to do that space could cost you $1,000.
Oh, my heavens.
Then you have to get an electrician to wire it and have a floor person install it and then put a finished floor over the top of that. Perhaps what would, does she, let me ask you this, does she have heat at all in this three-season room?
She does not.
Okay. And does she have gas service to her unit, and or could she get a gas line to that three-season room?
She probably could. She's using that room exclusively now because she teaches.
Right.
And that's what she has set up for her classroom.
Understood. So this is my point. I think that the feasibility of doing the floor might not make the most sense, but there are ventless natural gas heaters that your daughter could buy, and if she got a gas line run into that, it would heat up that space in no time. Now, it wouldn't necessarily heat the floor all the way, but it would heat the space, and
okay,
she'd be 150% more comfortable in that room. And if she had that installed with a carbon monoxide and smoke detector also in that room. I've been using one of these direct vent heaters in my home for a long time on a screened-in porch that I cover up. I put storm windows up in the wintertime. And on a cold day, you know, if it's the 30s or even lower than that, I can get that room to 70 degrees, no problem.
Oh boy, that's really comfortable.
Yeah, so have her look into natural gas ventless wall heaters, and a lot of the big box stores carry those. One such maker is a company called Emglow, E-M-G-L-O-W. You got that?
Okay, I do.
All right, and tell your daughter, thank you for teaching at home. This is not easy on any of these teachers, and we're so grateful to her and all the teachers that are trying to do this every single day.
I will say that to her, and I want to thank you so very much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568. This is Clyde, who's in Chicago. Hey, Clyde, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. And this is in reference to a past call I had with you maybe around 6 months ago. My son's bedroom is over a porch. We're in Chicago in Ravenswood. And it's over a porch, and it gets cold during the winter. Even though we have two heating systems in the house, it just doesn't take care of his room. And you recommended a split system ductless from Dykstra back then, and I just got around 6 months ago. I just got around to calling Dykstra up last weekend, and they don't service our area code. 6040. I was wondering if you could recommend.
So what part you're in Chicago? What part of Chicago are you?
Ravenswood.
Oh, okay.
Ravenswood.
You said that. Okay. I mean, most heating and cooling contractors, like, who does your service for your current system? You don't know? I mean, but do you have a...
I can't say their name. They're not a big company. They're, like, I think they have, like, two people working for the company.
All right. Most, you know, heating and cooling contractors, you know what this product is, can install. It's very easy to install. Why don't you try, so you're in Ravenswood. You know who I would contact? So another company that you could contact that could do this is Lindemann Heating and Cooling. So they're the chimney people, but they now have a heating and cooling division. And I know...
As a result of your show, I use them for gutters, and they stopped doing gutters in the city.
So. Right. They still do. They do chimneys, and they do. And I know that they do these split systems. And this is a new division for them. And so you're up on the north side. You know, Dykstra's down south. These guys are up north. And you know, I think that they would service the Ravenswood area for you, and could install one of these for your son's room. This is basically. Does this room also have a hard time keeping cool when you're running AC?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this, if you
it doesn't really bother him that much.
Got
it. An air conditioning person.
Right. But this product, if you you're going to buy one that can be used. There's specific ones that can be used just for air conditioning, or you need one that has that can be used for heating and cooling, and it's basically a heat pump, so it will take the chill all day out of that room, and it's quiet. You won't even know it's there, and it will definitely work. And it's a nice installation. It's not like some big hole in the wall. It just mounts in there almost, you know, inobtrusively. You won't even know it's there.
Okay. Is there a phone number for that division of Lindemann?
Same.
It's the
same phone number. Yeah, and you call them and say you want to talk to their heating and cooling division.
Okay, I'll give them a try. Thank you very much. Oh, and a roundabout estimate you might come up with, or does it depend on the?
It depends.
Site?
It depends on the installation, but I mean, this is typically, with the unit, it's probably a $4,000-ish proposition. You know, around that area, depending on how big the unit is, and again, it depends on. If it's high, if it's low, where the electric is, I mean, all that goes into factoring the install.
I see.
But that's kind of the, if you keep that $4,000 number, it could go up to five, it could be 3,500, you know, but that's probably good mid-range.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Good morning. You've got your radio tuned in to Lou Manfredini. Now back to your host right here on House Smarts Radio.
I don't need a whole lot of money. I needed
this song.
A big fine car.
Just my attitude.
I got everything that a man could want.
I do.
I got more than I could ask for.
I mentioned this earlier this morning, Lindsay heard this, but I saw a great quote about 2020 may not be the year that we got everything we want, but it's definitely the year that we're supposed to be grateful for everything that we have. Remember that. 877-213-4LOU. Thank you so much for listening to House Smarts Radio and calling us at 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go to Bonita Springs, Florida. That sounds like a great place to be right now. This is Donna in Bonita Springs. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Lou.
Morning.
Good morning. I have a kitchen island with... a wood top that's a bit scuffed up and scratched from knife marks and things like that. I wanted to sand it to get rid of it and then seal it, and I was wondering what you recommend for that.
What kind of tools do you have, Donna? Because you're going to need a random orbit sander.
I have an orbit sander.
Ooh, look at you.
And my husband has one.
Okay, so let's start with, you probably want a 60 grit, go buy like a package of 60 grit discs. Probably you can buy it in like a 4-pack or something like that. Then another pack of 80 grit, And then finally, a pack of 100 grit. Or 100 or 120, whatever they have. 120 would be my preferred. So you're going to sand that top down with the coarser grit. The lower the number, the more aggressive the paper is. And you're going to sand it all down and kind of get all the nooks and, you know, the divots out as best you can. Then go with the next grade, you know, the higher number, and finish it off with the 120 grit and get it nice and smooth. It'll look beautiful. Then when it's done, you're going to coat the whole thing with mineral oil.
Is that the same as pure white mineral oil? Because I saw that online, and I've never heard of pure white mineral oil.
I think it's one and the same. If you go to the hardware store, they'll have mineral oil. It'll come in either a clear bottle or a white bottle, whatever it is. But it's just clear mineral oil, right? And you'll literally, what I would do after you first get it all nice and sanded and looks pretty, take it onto a microfiber towel or even just a cotton rag and get that wet with the mineral, pour it onto the mineral oil and put that first coat on there back and forth. And once you first get a little bit of the dampness from the mineral oil onto there, you can go ahead and pour a little bit on the counter and then just work it all in and then walk away. Okay. Stay off of it if you can for at least 12 hours or 24 so that it can soak in. And then the next day, kind of wipe it with a rag and enjoy.
And do I need to periodically retreat it like this?
Yeah,
with the mineral oil?
Yeah, so the mineral oil, it's a, you know, kind of pay attention to it. And, you know, you can clean it with countertop cleaner or whatever, but that breaks down that oil, you know, over the, because you're going to want to wipe that down, of course, the counter. But then with the mineral oil, it's not a bad idea to do that every couple of months. Put a little bit on a rag, okay, clean off the counter, recoat it and go, because that mineral oil will not only keep stains from digging into the wood, but it also keeps the wood moisturized, so with that butcher block top like that, it doesn't separate.
Great. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's speak with Mary, who's in Mount Prospect. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Lou. I'm calling you because I need a cleaner for my brass fireplace screen. I did a no-no, and I forgot to open the flue, so I have soot all over my fireplace screen.
Okay. The tricky part is how to actually clean it, you know, because you need some backing behind it. So what I would do is get a bottle of crud cutter, which is a degreaser and a cleaner. It does great on soot. And then I would get a scrub brush, like a nylon scrub brush, and maybe do you have like rubber gloves you use for doing the dishes and stuff like that? Then put that on your hand and then put a rag over that. Keep your hand behind the screen after you spray.
Well, it's not really the screen. It's the vent on the top of the fireplace.
Oh, it's not the screen itself.
No.
Okay. So if it's just the hard part on the top, spray that with the crud cutter. Let that sit there for 10 minutes. Use a scrub brush and then a rag and wipe it away, and it should clean it up no problem.
Okay. And how would you clean the brick above the fireplace?
Same stuff. Spray it.
Okay.
10 minutes, nylon brush, and you're good to go.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lou.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. Okay, I want to quickly do my new to Lou too. This is a good one for holiday decorating. If you want to hang lights on your gutter, because this would be a good day to do that, this is going to keep you off of the ladder and keep you firmly on the ground. Take a listen. Like I said, take a listen.
Tis the season to be merry. And what better way to do it this year, especially than with those twinkling lights? Our new Tulu 2 this weekend will get your house looking its festive best while never stepping foot on a ladder. The No Letter Pro Light Hanging Kit will help you in hanging and unhanging your holiday lights and decor. Whether it's on gutters, shingles, eaves, or other stuff like trees, shrubs, wreaths, or any spots that are typically unattainable to reach while your 2 feet are on the ground. It's really easy to use. You just string the holiday lights through the rapid release clips that come in the kit and use the patented No Letter Pro telescoping pole that extends up to 11 feet to raise them up and click those lights into place using the one finger trigger pull. There's 25 rapid release clips included in each kit that'll get you about 50 feet of decorating. You can buy additional packs of clips that are sold separately if you need more. We tested the No Letter Pro on our house this year. We have never framed our roof using holiday lights. It's always just freaked me out trying to get up on that ladder or trying to figure out how to keep them in place, but this thing was really easy and it looks great. The No Letter Pro goes for $39.99 on Amazon. I will put a link up on Lou's Facebook page, on his Instagram page, so take a look and happy hanging. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
Oh, it's a good one. And you literally stay on the ground and you can hang the lights on the gutter. I had a chance to actually use this device with Lindsay. We decorated at your house. And
so nice of you.
It was so nice. And we actually filmed it and it was on the Today Show on Friday. And although it really works well as a two-person job, you said you did a section of it by yourself.
I did. We did half of my house when you were there, and then you just left me and said, here's the rest. but I did the rest, and it was, it's probably easier with two people, yeah. But it was fine with one. And
the No Ladder so cool. Pro, and you can find it at your local Ace Hardware, too, along with if you wanted to go in and shop at a local store as well. Many of those stores carry it. The No Ladder Pro, it's a good one. We also popped it up on our Facebook page as well. All right, we need to take a quick break, and we will be back right after this.
He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon.
I think we can all associate to the jeans not fitting the same. This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Hold my hand.
Got to check out the new Chevy Trailblazer. That's a good looking new SUV from Chevy. It's a good one. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number.
Sing forevermore.
This is Pat in Arlington Heights. Hi, Pat.
Lou, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, 55-year-old 12-unit apartment building. The lower portion of the L has a basement where the mechanical rooms are and all everything else. The other side has two stories and no basement. Slab, and we have a potable water leak somewhere in that building, and without breaking up the concrete floors of the first floor apartments to try to find it, is there some system, an ultrasound system or something where they can find a leak device in the concrete, and then we can kind of pinpoint it and then break it up and repair it?
Yeah, some plumbers have a way to locate where a leak is with a sound device where they can locate where the service is coming from the street and try and pinpoint exactly where it is. It's not exact, but you need somebody with a ton of experience to do this. So here's what I would do. You may have heard on this radio station the plumbers911.com. These are the people you need to call because they have a ton of experience. They work all over the Chicagoland area, and they will have the way to kind of locate what's going on. Now, you know, the issue becomes, well, a 55-year-old building, so you probably have a copper water. I mean, that water service was new 55 years ago, so more than likely it's a copper line coming in. It's not lead. And so, you know, that line typically coming in is a solid piece. They don't put any joints anywhere, but certainly something can shift and break. That's possible. But if in fact it is copper and they can locate this thing, they could localize where they have to do the breaking. And, you know, it's right below that concrete slab if that's where it's coming in. So it's, you know, 4 or 5 inches of concrete that has to come out, a little bit of gravel. Well, it's probably a little bit deeper because it's under the footing. So anyway, they do have to do some excavation. But the fact that it's copper, the hole will be somewhat manageable, and they'll be able to access it and be able to repair it from that point. So I would contact them, have them come out and take a look at it with one of their contractors that work in the Arlington Heights area to figure this out.
You know, we have brick. We took brick out because there's water coming out under the brick of the building running into the parking lot. And we shut down the boiler system, and it continued, so it's not the boiler. And I'll tell you, it's just a nightmare. It's just a nightmare trying to find this thing. Is there a number for this plumber's 911?
There is. Keep listening. I'll get you the number. But I know that the website is plumbers911.com. It's like 800-911.com or something like that. But I let's see if Lindsay can find it. And then you got it?
Yep.
Go ahead. You got a pencil? Here you go. Here you go.
It is 833. That was 833-758-6911.
Okay, very good. Lou, you have a happy holiday, and I wish you well.
You too. I appreciate you calling, and good luck with that. That's a tough project to figure out. I get it. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Nick in Hinsdale. Nick, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. First, I want to thank you. I've been listening to you for probably over 20 years, and being a father of 10 children, your advice has always been helpful on things that might need to be fixed, and so I wanted to thank you for that first.
Well, I mean, evidently, when it comes to getting fixed, that's not something with the 10 kids that you had done, so congratulations.
That's good. That's cute. I like that. That's good. So my question is this. My twin brother, I have an identical twin brother, and he got this new, like, steamer. He said, Nick, I don't need my April air humidifier. I use this steamer. And he had this gentleman hook it up, and it shoots steam. And it said steam is more clean and pure, and it's better for you. But I just didn't know if you knew anything about it and what they normally should go for. And I don't know. I just thought I'd pick your brain. You always seem so knowledgeable.
Is it steam or is it an ultrasonic humidifier that he has in a room?
No, it's steam. It's like a white box or something I saw mounted with a hose.
On his furnace.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Those units have been out for a long time, and the idea behind it is that the particles, okay, so just think about your regular April air. Your regular April air, I'll use an example of kind of their bread and butter is the April Air 700. And this is a whole house humidifier that has a water filter on there that the water filters down through, and it's got a little fan, and the fan blows the vapor as it comes down the cartridge, you know, on the humidifier, and then that vapor enters into the plenum, and then it humidifies your whole house. The steam part of it, it just heats that all up, and so the particulate is smaller, and you can get more humidity. However, there's a point where you just need so much, and so in other words, you know, on average, in the winter months, you're going to set your humidifier, if you have a whole house humidifier and forced air, anywhere from 30 to 35%. If you have more than that, then I get the phone call saying that I've got all this water beating on the inside of my windows. What's going on? Because I have too much humidity. So the steam, it works. It's just a different mousetrap.
Is there a better, like, is there a good advantage to it? Like, is it healthier or not really?
I don't have an opinion on if it's healthier, because all, in my opinion, the advantage of the steam is I'm getting more vapor into the air. I don't know how that is healthier, because if it's a whole house system and it's still set up like your traditional April air, it's just refining the vapor that's going in there. I don't know why that would be healthier.
Right. How about it cost? Any idea what
it costs more because it's got a generator. So, you know, if an April Air 700, if you were going to go buy one on the internet, you may spend $300 on that. I bet that steam will cost you double.
Wow. Interesting.
So your brother's a high roller. Does he have 10 kids?
Yeah.
Does he have 10 children?
He has eight children.
Well, we'll see.
He has 8 children.
Yeah, so he's not spending as much as you, so he can afford the steam.
That's right.
All right.
I really enjoy your show, and thank you so much.
I enjoy that you're listening. Maybe you and your brother should come up with a hobby, you know, like play backgammon or something like that together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've contributed enough to society, so let's come up with a hobby, you two. That's funny. Between the two of them, they have 18 children. What are you doing? 18 children! Two twin brothers. Holy smokes.
Kind of a fine one to talk, though. You have the biggest fan.
I just have four. Kids, but four is like, four is like nothing. It's like nothing. All right. You know what? Speaking of you, it's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. All right, if you're anything like me and love to prepare meals at home, you know certain foods can really overwhelm the smell in your kitchen. Having a good range hood is essential. And lucky for you, Tom just got 4 new styles in stock. Made of durable stainless steel and tempered glass, these hoods are sleek and functional. Powerful suction, energy efficient, and quiet operation that keep those noise levels down. They're easy to install and available in push-button control or a digital touch sensor control panel. Another must-see item that's new at Builder's Supply Outlet.
Christmas is WGN.
Hey, you can't do everything. Sometimes you need a little help. That's where Lou comes in, and he's taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
You're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Welcome back. 877-2134-LOU. It's a beautiful sunny day outside. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. 877-2134-LOU. 877-213-4568. Adrian is on the line. She's in Schaumburg. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, I've got a manufactured hardwood floor in my family room, and there is a spot that I haven't been able to wipe off. It's over by my granddaughter's little play kitchen, so I'm assuming it's some kind of food, and that I didn't catch it as soon as it, you know, was dripped there.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do to get rid of it?
Is it like a haziness? What is it?
It almost looks like it's a red round spot, and around the edge is a little bit darker.
Okay, I want you to try. This is what I want you to try. There's a lubricant / cleaner called Superzilla. I want you to squirt that on there.
Okay.
I want you to squirt that on there, and I want you to leave it there for, I don't know, 5 minutes. And then with, do you have a plastic scrubbing scouring pad?
Yes, I do.
All right. With the grain, not super hard, with the grain, go back and forth a little bit and see if that pulls it up. And that'll probably be your best bet to try and get that stain up out of that floor.
Okay. And I can get the Superzilla at my Ace. Right.
You can. You should be able to. They do carry it. I know it's been hard. It's been hard to find, but it's. I think it's back in stock. It's a company out of Michigan that sells it and carries it. So you should be able to find it. Spray it. The key thing here is you just got to let it sit there for about 5 minutes and let it do its job.
Okay, and what kind of scouring pad again?
Just like a plastic one. Nothing that's super aggressive. I just want you to, you know, and I don't want you to really, really scrub hard because I don't want you to damage the finish, but just something with a little bit of texture.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, good luck. Let me know what happens, okay? I want to know if you're able to get that all cleaned up because that'll be good to know. So when I'm telling other people to do that as well, it should work out for them as well. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Richard in Chicago. Richard, good morning.
I'm doing fine. Is this Lou?
It is. What's going on?
Lou, I'm talking to you about that gentleman with a radiant panel leak.
Gentleman with the radiant panel leak. He's got a
They had a leak in the floor.
Right. He thinks it's their domestic water.
Well, I've repaired, I don't know how many of those. Now, I'm an old pipe fitter. You got to get on your hands and knees.
Yep.
And find a hot spot in the concrete. And that's where you're going to find it. It'll be a real hot spot.
Well, maybe you misunderstood. He said it's not their boiler. It's their domestic water. They thought at first it was the boiler. They shut it down, but they still heard the leak. And so they think it's the domestic water coming in, which that trick that you just said with the hotspot, that you're right, that makes a lot of sense that would work. But with the domestic water, I don't think you have the same, right? Because it's cold coming in, and you won't feel that in there.
No, you won't find that. You've got to get on your hands and knees and really feel around for it.
Yeah.
There was a second problem. I tried calling you last week about a pilot light. Remember, they couldn't keep the pilot light on?
Okay, remind me.
I've run across where the pilot light itself is dirty. You have to take that pilot light and clean it. I had an old drilling system for cleaning my torch with little drill bits.
Sure, oh yeah.
And you sort of put it in there and you clean it out.
Right.
And then there's usually a screw which locates, how would you say it, the flame, which brings it up a little bit higher or a little lower. He may have to adjust the flame on that, but I think it's dirty
in the little port where the gas is coming out for the flame.
You got it.
That's what I'm
looking at.
So when you're talking about that little tool that you'd use it on your acetylene torch, it almost was like a flip-out Allen wrench set, but it had little pins, and they were like little files that you would put on the end of your acetylene torch to clean it out.
Yes, I used to carry that in my pocket all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I started my career as a welder, and I know exactly the tool you're talking about because I had one of those in my pocket as well. It was in your line of work. That was a well needed item because if that torch wasn't clean, it just wouldn't fire up.
You got that right.
When did you when did you retire?
Let's see, 00.
Oh wow. And a fine career?
Oh, I had, let's see, 62 years as a pipe fitter.
Right. We got these young people out there now. We hear all this talk about, you know, going to college, which certainly education is an important thing, but there's such great opportunity in the trades. And,
yes.
You know, for young people to think about it because you can have a long career, you can raise a family, that middle class lifestyle that, you know, we hear, you know, all the politicians talk about all the time, and a pipe fitter in particular, it's not just grunt work. There's a lot of mental acuity that's needed to perform that job.
Well, I work for 597 Pipe Fitters, City of Chicago, one of the greatest pipe fitter unions that we have in our country.
They've taken
care of the retirees like you can't believe.
That's awesome to hear. Well, congratulations to you. Continue listening, and I hope that you stay healthy and enjoy that retirement.
I'm sure going to try. Lou, you have a great day, and happy holiday to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Hey, by the way, 2020 marks my 25th anniversary here at WGN Radio. Started back in 1995 as a guest on the Bob Collins Show, and in honor of my anniversary, we're giving you a chance to win some of my favorite things. Each week, we'll feature a different product or service that you can win. Congratulations to Christy Dosikal. That's a name. Pronunciation would have been good. Dosikal. I'm going to go with Dosikal. right? She's the winner, subject to eligibility of last week's prize, the Eagle Power Plus snowblower with push-button start and two lithium batteries from Ace Hardware. This week's prize, two canisters of Green Gobbler drain opener packs and a $275 Ace Hardware gift card. Green Gobbler is a fast-acting to dissolve hair and liquefy the gunk in your drains like hair and soap and grease. Good morning, everybody. And so you can maintain free-flowing pipes, and it's safe for septic systems. Pipes, toilets, sinks, tubs, and showers. Clearing a clog has never been easier with Green Gobbler. Green Gobbler products are available at your local Ace Hardware store. Enter, visit WGNradio.com/contests. This contest ends tomorrow, Sunday, at 11:59 p.m., so get your entry in today. Sponsored by Green Gobbler, available at your local Ace Hardware. Ace, the helpful place. And stay tuned next week when we announce the winner and next week's favorite things. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about recycling. All those packages you're getting delivered, are you recycling the right stuff the right way? That's coming up after WGN Radio News.
You've got your radio tuned into Lou, one of the sharpest tools in the shed.
Francis, how are you?
Good. Woodpeckers.
It's a bird. Mm-hmm. It flies, and it's a big nuisance.
Redheaded,
yep.
One of the brightest bulbs in the box.
DuraShield, ThermoSeal. They both claim to do the same work. What is the difference between the two?
DuraShield is spelled with a D, and ThermoSeal is spelled with a P.
And a few screws more than a hardware store.
I will do the comedy, okay?
Back to Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. Okay, like many of you, we have been ordering more things online. Certainly, I want people to shop locally whenever you possibly can. But the realities of our world is that we're getting more packages. And that means that recycling really has to be something that we participate in more. Joining me on the phone line is Lisa Disbrow, who is a spokesperson for Waste Management of Illinois. Lisa, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for inviting me this morning.
Tell me a little bit about, I think a lot of people know Waste Management, very large company, and one that has been involved in trash pickup for many, many years, but you've also been intimately involved as a organization in the recycling of all these products that we now get, all these packages and papers and things we get delivered to our homes.
That is true. We do provide recycling service throughout the Chicagoland area to a lot of residents and businesses. So recycling is a core service that we provide. A lot of folks hopefully think of us more of a recycling company these days than anything else, although we provide trash service and other services as well.
Right. I think about our own home, and I literally, where we live in the city, we get a pickup for recycling every other week. And we easily could have a pickup once a week because we have more cardboard and paper products and things that we have than we do trash. And are you noticing an uptick since even the pandemic of higher volume of recycling through your system?
We have seen elevated volumes since the pandemic began. We continue to see elevated volumes of residential recyclables that are coming to our single stream material recovery or recycling facilities. Sometimes they're known as MRFs. You might hear that acronym. While the commercial or the business volumes have been relatively muted. What this means is that our facilities are seeing a lot of more bottles, cans, and larger volumes of lighter weight, smaller pieces of cardboard. Because as you say, a lot of us are working from home and we're ordering online. And we've had a lot of packages delivered during this period.
Now, the packages getting delivered, that cardboard obviously is probably one of the easiest things to recycle, but we make a lot of mistakes, don't we, with what we throw in to the recycling bin. I know that in the city of Chicago, and this may be true for you across the board, but they no longer want us to put any plastic bags because it has a adverse effect of the machinery that you use in sort of sorting this thing out. And so, you're supposed to keep that stuff loose. But I hear the word about contamination, and I think a lot of people look at it, well, it's made of paper, I'm going to throw it in there. But if it's contaminated, is it true that it can't be recycled?
What happens is that we see a lot of materials coming into the recycling cart, a lot of food waste, a lot of liquids are thrown in to the recycling cart,
mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of other items made out of plastic, for example, that folks believe are recyclable in their curbside program, but they're not. Plastic bags is a prime example that you mentioned. It gets wrapped around our equipment. In the summertime, we see a lot of garden hoses. We'll see swimming pools, little kids' swimming pools come in.
Right.
And now that we're approaching the holidays, and people are pulling out their holiday lights, and they're saying, oh, wow, this strand doesn't work any longer. Well, don't put that. Don't put the holiday lights in your recycling cart. Those go into the trash.
Right.
Those are all things that we call tanglers, because they do get wrapped around our equipment, and it doesn't allow the equipment to work properly to help sort the material as it moves through the facility.
So, for instance, if you get a package delivered and they use like plastic inside there, like, you know, air-filled pockets of plastic to keep whatever you got shipped there safe, you know, not to be damaged, that should not be recycled. That should go in the trash, but then the box itself could go into the recycling.
A lot of people refer to that as bubble wrap.
Right.
That material is not recyclable. But if you have other type of paper material that's in the box that to help it arrive safely to its destination, that material can go into your recycling cart. Because I've noticed that some craft, what I would call the craft brown paper,
right,
is being used in some of the shipping boxes,
right,
today.
Right. Yeah, no, I do think that a lot of these companies that are doing this are trying to be a little bit more environmentally friendly as it pertains to, you know, what they're sending, which is great. I mean, it's all a good thing. But are there things that people should keep in mind, like some takeaways perhaps that we can give to our listeners to say, look, if you're going to recycle and you really want to, because if you're going to go through the effort of doing this, right, I think that for all of us, we want to make sure that, hey, I'm recycling this thing. I want this to be repurposed or reused, whatever it is. Are there some things to remember before you go put that in the container versus putting it into the trash?
There's a couple of things. Make sure that if you're recycling that soda bottle, that it's empty of the soda. It's fine to put the cap back on the soda bottle. We prefer that. Make sure that your food containers, if you're recycling the yogurt cup, that it is free of yogurt. Milk containers are empty of milk. These are really important things, and that you'd be surprised at how much food and liquids that we actually receive in with the recyclables today. And as we're approaching, you know, it's winter time, and if you can, make sure if you have a container, a recycling container, a cart that has a lid, to close that lid too, because moisture impacts the value of the recyclables.
Is there a place, Lisa, where people can go, like a website or something, that may have more details so that people can make the right decisions when it comes to recycling?
Yes, absolutely. We have a website. You can go to WM.com. Also, we have RecycleRight.com that is filled with information about recycling and answering those questions about whether or not it should go into the cart. We also have a lot of educational materials on there if you have kids that are looking for information or fun things to do with recycling. And, of course, the city of Chicago and the suburbs and our the local counties, they all have really great information on recycling. So I always say, if in doubt, check it out before you put it in the cart.
I love it. Lisa Disbrow is a spokesperson for Waste Management of Illinois. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope you have a terrific rest of your day.
Thank you, Lou.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You are listening to your big brother in the business. That's right, Lou Manfredini. And he's taking your calls live right here on House Smarts Radio.
Nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer.
You know, when I was speaking to my guest off the air after we spoke, she mentioned that another thing that people are putting into recycling is your PPE, your protective protection equipment, and they do not want that in the recycling. So even though you may think it's, oh, it's cloth, it's paper, whatever, if you are someone that uses PPE as part of your job or your daily life, if you're using disposable masks and things like that, put that in the trash, not into your recycling container, because that is not something that they recycle. 877-213-4LOU is the phone number. 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines now. This is Avelina, who's in Chicago. Hi, Avelina.
213-4LOU is the phone number. 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines now. This is Avelina, who's in Chicago.
Just make sure I'm saying everything correctly. I get to listen, too, which is nice. Hello?
Hello?
You need to turn the radio down, Avelina.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Okay. I have three cement steps on the side of the yard, and I had this man come, a company man. It was just a regular man that does fencing and everything else. And he did it for me, but I didn't come out there to check because I figured he knew what he was doing. And he made me a railing to go down three steps on the side, but he made it 42 inches high. And when I came out to see what he had done, because he said it was done, so I checked it and I told him, that's too high. How am I going to hold on to it if it's so high? He said, no, that's the code. But then I Googled it, and it's supposed to be 36 inches.
I think in the city of Chicago, it's higher.
Oh, okay. But there's no way to hold on to it.
Are you, Avelina, are you a woman of not tall stature?
Right. I'm 5'2 or 5'3 around there.
Yeah, I mean, the railing height in the city of Chicago, the code is higher, and it's a safety issue based on the code. So the on the stairs, I have to double check it. I don't remember exactly, but I know it's higher than 36. I mean, it's just it's supposed to be more. It's really more for the higher railing is supposed to assist people actually going down to help you rather than going up. And so,
but how do you hold on to it if it's so high?
Well, I think it's just something you got to get used to. I mean, you ship 42 inches. Yes, it is higher, but it is in the city of Chicago. It is a high. Yeah. I'm going to double check that, but I'm almost positive that's true.
Cause I checked the three houses down and they're new. They're making new houses and it's 36 inches.
Those are 36. Yeah.
Right. And
on the staircases, I mean, if it was a railing around a deck, they want 42. On the stairs, I can't remember if they raise that up as well from 36. But 36 is typical, but there is some higher code. I'm going to, like I said, let me double check. If I can find that out while I'm still on the air, I will announce that. So please keep listening for that, and we'll do a little research when I get a chance. Something that she said that is a little concerning to me is I took a call this morning on my New York show from a caller who talked about the fact that she hired this tuck pointer to do all this work, $33,000 worth of work. And the contract that she signed was just wasn't anything super official. And same kind of thing, what Avelina just said, I just figured they knew what they were doing. This woman in New York was super disappointed with the work that this contractor was doing because nobody double-checked on their work. You know, when I read these commercials, if it's whether it's PermaSeal or other companies that talk about their ratings, and they talk about, you know, the high ratings on the Better Business Bureau or their Google rating, that kind of stuff, we all owe it to ourselves if you're going to hire somebody, even if it's somebody driving by in a truck. And you're going to risk that. I've got somebody that used to work for us and started in his own doing side work. And, you know, he's asking me some advice about doing this kind of work. But, you know, those side jobs for people, they don't have insurance. They have no way to, right a wrong if it happens and stuff goes wrong. So when you're going to hire somebody, you've got to do your due diligence. And, you know, you may think that, oh, well, these big companies, I hear advertising on the radio, you know, I can't afford them, whatever. But they also have insurance and they have experience. And, you know, a lot of the people that you hear on this show, you know, whether it's the HVAC companies, the basement waterproofing companies, the window companies, these are all reputable people. This lady in New York, you know, owes this person like 10 grand. And it's going to end up in the hands of lawyers. And, you know, in the end, her work's not going to get done. She's super disappointed with the work. And she's going to spend all this money on legal fees. For what? If you spend the time and do your due diligence about making sure that you check all the third-party references that you possibly can before you hire somebody and you hire reputable people, you've got a better chance of it all coming out okay in the end. I promise you. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. This is John in Crystal Lake. Hi, John.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I'm sitting in the parking lot of my local Ace Hardware getting to going to get a No Ladder Pro.
Oh, hey, that. Advertising works.
It does. But I had a question. So this is not so much a repair, but a cost question.
Okay.
We had a company who advertised, you know, come out to check the furnace and get it ready for winter. So they did that, and our home's only about 3 years old. And they didn't say anything was wrong. They had to clean the blower and do some other stuff. And so they said the price to just kind of do the annual thing was about $700. That seemed really expensive to me.
$700 to clean your furnace?
Yep. They didn't say anything needed to be repaired, just like the annual maintenance. They showed me a picture of the little squirrel cage blower,
mm-hmm.
and they said, oh, that's pretty dirty. We got to, I don't know if they said they had to take it out, but it seemed expensive. Is that expensive?
That's expensive. That's really expensive. Like, inordinately. Now, if they found something and they were replacing that blower motor is probably $300, but they didn't replace the blower motor as far as you know.
Nope, just cleaned it.
Right. I mean, I have advertisers on this radio station, on this show and across the station that are, you know, on average charging anywhere from $89 to $150 to come out and do a clean and check. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Did they quote you a price before they came?
Not before they came. I mean, they had their you know, here's how much it is for us to come out and do an annual check.
And they're not the people.
And I don't know.
They're not the people that installed this unit.
Correct.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of teeth you have in there to go back to them, but that doesn't seem right. And I would ask them, you know, perhaps to say, look, I did a little checking around here and I even talked to, you know, you can say you talked to me, but I mean, if you had said $300 and, you know, there was, hey, we had to take the squirrel cage out to clean it, this and that, I could kind of buy that maybe. You know, because typically in a clean and check, they don't do that. But if that's what they had to do, I mean, how long was the technician there?
Well, he was there a couple hours, but he also sold us and installed one of those electrostatic filters.
Okay, but was that part of the $700?
No, that was like another $700.
Wow.
So yeah, when he left, it was
a $1,500. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems a little, it seems, based on the information that you're telling me right now, it seems like you were taken advantage of, and I would call back and ask to speak to the owner.
I will.
Okay. Call me back and let me know what happens, all right?
Thank you, Lou. I appreciate it.
Good luck with that No Ladder Pro, and stay off the ladder. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome to Ask a Plumber, brought to you by Plumbers 911 of Chicago. This week, we're speaking with Joe Piccoli of Power Plumbing to learn more about the services of Plumbers 911 Chicago. Joe, as fall arrives in Chicagoland, what should folks be thinking about when it comes to plumbing maintenance?
With the change of the season, we always like to remind homeowners that their hot water heaters work harder during the winter months, and fall is a key time for hot water heater upkeep and repair.
So what should we do to get the ball rolling?
The first thing we recommend is to check your water heater's pressure valve. Both gas and electric water heaters feature a safety device known as a pressure valve that should be checked regularly.
Do water heaters really need to be drained?
We recommend that folks drain their hot water heaters several times a year. Over time, sediment can collect in the water heater, forcing it to work harder and eventually leading to leaks or corrosion. Draining the unit eliminates buildup and extends the water heater's life.
We'll be right back with Joe Piccoli of Power Plumbing.
Broken pipes, clogged toilet, flooded basement? The professionals at Plumbers 911 Chicago are ready to answer your call. They'll get your plumbing job done right the first time. Their phones are open 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. That's 1-833-PLUM-911.
Welcome back with Joe Piccoli of Power Plumbing and Sewer. Joe, what's the shelf life for a water heater these days?
The life expectancy of a hot water heater is about 6 to 10 years. That varies with the location and design of the unit, the quality of the installation, and the quality of the water where you live.
And what's the best advice for replacing your water heater?
There are lots of choices and many excellent energy-efficient options. Water heater amounts to nearly 20% of a home's energy costs, so you may have to spend more upfront for a model, but you will save money over time. At Plumbers 911, we have the most highly skilled and licensed experts ready to help you with any water heater issues.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Joe. Remember, if you have a plumbing emergency or need plumbing services, go to plumbers911chicago.com.
This lady loves Lou.
And I've been listening to you forever. I love you, love you.
This guy, he loves Lou too.
I don't think I've missed a show except for when I was out of town.
Yep, another lover.
Good morning. I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
But hey, that's not what this rejoin is about. We're not trying to oversell Lou. I'm just doing like a public service announcement.
You got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
So now you decide for yourself. Back to your host, Lou Manfredini on How Smarts Radio.
What's love got to do?
I love you.
What's love but a second?
We watched Decorated last night, decorated the tree, and watched Elf, you know, which is great. And when he's, when he comes in and he thinks he's doing a holiday Graham when he first meets his dad. And he's like, "All right, you going to sing a song? I'm here and I'm singing. And you're my dad, and you didn't know that I was alive, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you." It is so good.
I know.
Oh, it's put that on your list. If you want a feel-good holiday movie, boy, that Elf is a good one. It's a good, oh, wow, I like this. Is there sugar in maple syrup? Yep, I like it. maple syrup on the spaghetti?
Yes.
It's crazy. Oh, and he eats it. Oh, my gosh. By the way, this hour of How Smarts Radio brought sponsored by Ace Hardware. Hey, Joe Brand, are you sitting there?
I am sitting here.
Okay. I am no fan, because my money went to Michigan, I am no fan of Ohio State.
Okay.
But the whole thing that now, because of COVID, they won't be bowl eligible seems a little... Couldn't we figure something else out?
Well, it's for the Big Ten championship.
Okay,
Well, the whole thing comes down to the Big Ten Conference was one of the last conferences to actually get their season going. So that's why it's such a condensed year. So if a team goes like 3-0, they shouldn't be eligible rather than a team that's 7-1, let's say. So that's why that's all happening. I mean, it's... Obviously, it's weird circumstances for everyone involved, so that's basically the long and short of it. But that's fine. I mean, you can still root against Ohio State. You don't have to feel bad for them.
But my point is, while I'm not a fan because of my somewhat association with Michigan, mm-hmm. right? it's bummer that the virus is affecting this because they can't play,
right?
Which they shouldn't because of, you know, the positivity of the players. But
well, and I'll say this, and I'm sure a lot of people might disagree, but you kind of saw this during the baseball season too. Like the Cubs and White Sox, they did a very good job of avoiding COVID during the season. So that whole thing, following protocols, making sure you're safe, go into the ability for how long, yeah, how far your team can go. I get it. You can still contract the virus even following all the rules.
Sure.
But it's kind of a play in the whole system of, you know, how is your season going? How well are you doing on the field? But also, how well are you following all the rules? And obviously, it's a lot tougher with a football program because there's so many people involved. But if you're able to follow all the protocols, follow the rules, and avoid it all, then you got a better chance of playing at full capacity every week in and week out.
But then cue all the future years of Ohio State fans saying that there's an asterisk around whoever wins the 2020 because they couldn't do it.
That's what I mean. You don't have to feel bad for Ohio State. I don't think anyone's feeling bad for Ohio State these days.
Mm-hmm. All the people that love Ohio State are not happy with us right now. But right. Then in the meantime, Northwestern is 5-0?
5-0, yep, 5-0.
5-0.
Looking to go 6-0 for the first time since 1962.
That's so fun.
And then 6-0 in the Big Ten for the first time since 95.
You know, the other thing, too, that I love about Northwestern, not only that they're on this radio station, but Pat Fitzgerald is just a rock solid.
How about it? You know, we were watching the Wisconsin game.
He's just a terrific guy.
My brother-in-law and I were watching it last week, and he's like, you know, I don't have a son, and I doubt if I did, he'd play college football. But if he did, I'd love for him to play for Pat Fitzgerald. He just
right.
seems like such a stand-up. And it's true. I mean, he's just the king of Evanston. Everybody likes him.
Yeah,
it's really cool to see him succeed.
You know, and he's one of those guys that recognizes what he has and the effect that he's having. And, you
right.
know, obviously, you know, he's a local kid, right? So grew up in the Chicagoland area, went to Northwestern, had a great career there, and is just, you know, carried himself so well with that program, and boy, Northwestern's lucky to have him.
When Green Bay had a coaching vacancy, yep. I'll always remember Teddy Greenstein tweeted out, he's like, well, I reached out to Coach Pat Fitzgerald if he had any interest in the Green Bay Packers job, and he responded, go Cats. And that was it.
So diplomatic.
So great. That's great. All right, well, go Ohio State. Not really.
Wow.
877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go to Palatine, where Kathy's on the line. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
How may I help you?
Well, I had some little critters coming in my house through the crawl space, so I went outside to look and see where they were coming in, and I've got these vents to the crawl space.
Yeah.
And the screens are all, that's where they're coming in, obviously. So I need to know who can replace those for me.
Who might replace those for you, because it's technically a basement thing, is the folks the folks at PermaSeal. I would start with them.
Okay.
Do you have a pen or a pencil?
I do.
800-421-SEAL.
Okay. All right, I'll start with them.
Yeah, start with them, and I bet they'll be able to help you with that.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. Let's go to Buffalo Grove, where Joan is on the line. Hi,
hello?
Joan. Hi there. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Happy holidays.
You too.
I have a question about my crawl space. I had it perma-sealed, you know, insulated about 15 years ago, and they installed a sump pump at that time. And last year, they replaced the sump pump, and this year, they came out to do the annual inspection, and they told me it was really, really humid down there, and they're recommending I install a dehumidifier.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out why all of a sudden it's humid. Do you have any thoughts on what might be going on?
Well, in that crawl space, when I look in there, what am I seeing? A bunch of dirt and that kind of stuff?
No, it's got the PermaSeal encapsulation.
Oh, it's encapsulated.
Yeah.
Okay. But within the encapsulation, it's super humid?
Yeah.
Okay, and then let me ask you one other thing. The And you have you have a basement adjacent to it? Is that correct?
No, no. It's the it's crawl space underneath.
How long have you had this encapsulation installed?
About 15 years.
Hmm.
And the only other thing is that when he went down there, he said he saw 15 dead mice, which I had a mouse person come out right away, and it was just the insulation had been
through the outside and came in?
Yeah, but it wasn't 15. There was one dead mouse and two voles. And I know I have voles in the backyard. But they're going to seal the mice people are going to seal the outside of the house to prevent anymore. But I'm wondering if maybe that might be going on.
I mean, okay, so there's a bunch of things that can happen. I mean, the humidity levels down in a place, in something like that, atmospherically can have a lot to do with it. But let me ask you this. How do you access the crawl space?
Through a little trap door in a closet.
And when you open that, you can see it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's try this before we go and invest in all this, just to make sure, right? You can buy a small humidistat that's a mechanical humidistat, and it's a temperature gauge too for about $15 at the hardware store.
Okay.
I want you to tie a little string to it, open up your trap door, and lower it down into the crawl space and let it sit there for 48 hours.
Okay.
And then 2 days later, open it up and pull that up and see what the humidity level is like down there now. Okay? Now, if it's below 40%, right, at this time of year, you're fine. But then I want you to just let that go for the winter, and then let's see what it looks like when the rainy season hits in the spring. If all of a sudden it's high up in the 60 range, they either have to come up with a fan system to dehumidify to pull that air out of there because it's not conditioned space, or the dehumidifier may be an issue that has to get mounted there as well.
Okay. They did talk to me about that. It requires that it's separate electric breaker, you know, so they're going to have to rewire and that sort of thing.
Right.
So I will do that. You don't see any particular reason why it might have all of a sudden become an issue for me?
I mean, if there's no breaks in the encapsulation system, I mean, if these mice were to chew through it at all, if there's a big hole or a breach in it somewhere, that would be something.
Yeah.
So we just have to make sure that's not apparent. But
no, it was just the insulation.
Right. So if they chewed through that and there was a big hole in there letting moisture in, that could matter, but it's probably a small hole that happens. So it's probably more to do with just the atmosphere and what's going on in and around it.
Okay.
But I would do this little test. It's worth it. It's worth the $15.
All right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, for the price they quoted. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Lou.
Happy
Christmas.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Merry Christmas, WGN.
Over the years, much like a fine wine, people age and they gain their knowledge and expertise about their home as they live in it over time.
I have a pocket door that is off the track and I can't open or close it. Thank God it's open so I can get into the bathroom.
Others, like me, need people like Lou.
I got a flat roof that I want to extend the life of it.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, taking your calls live about any questions you have about your home.
We got a cast iron sink and it has more scratches on it than I have wrinkles on my face.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
And in my heart, you'll always stay forever young.
It's just a number. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We were doing a little research off the air. That lady that called in about the railing, and I knew I was a little confused on this because the codes had changed in Chicago a few years ago, And I hadn't built a outdoor rail in a while, and so I needed to go double check it. So, in fact, if there's a landing that is outside, then the rails need to be 42 inches. But the rail descending down the staircase for that lady needs to be between 34 and 38 inches. And so that is, that 42, that's a little high. It's not the end of the world, but to the point of the landing portion, if there's something you come out on a landing, whether it's a porch or a deck, the city of Chicago requires 42 inches of that rail. The rail cannot be designed at all. The balusters in between there need to be, I believe it's 4 inches apart, no wider than 4 inches. And you cannot have a design that creates like a ladder effect where you could climb up over the rail. But then when you measure from the front of the step vertically, straight up and down, the height range of that rail should be between 34 and 38 inches. So, you know, you could have that person come back and, you know, redo that rail and lower the height of the rail. It wouldn't be the end of the, you know, it's not a huge deal to lower that. It's just time and effort. And again, don't just assume people know what they're doing. Make sure you double check on all that, and so you're hiring the right people. Let's get a quick call in here this morning, 877-213-4LOU. This is Bob in Schaumburg. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Lou. How's it going? I love your show. I have a question about replacing my weather stripping on my interior door. Do you have a recommendation on which would be one of the better ones?
So probably the name in interior weather stripping is Mecklenburg Duncan, or MD. And so if you go to the hardware store, there'll be a whole wide range of Mecklenburg Duncan products. And weather stripping is one of those things, Bob, that I tell people that this is the time of year you should be doing it before it gets super cold, because a lot of this stuff is adhesive. Or if you're using one that you're inserting into a groove, that doesn't matter. But if you're going to use something with an adhesive, we want it to be a little bit warmer so it sticks. And you got a better chance of it lasting all winter long and beyond if you do it with a little bit, like a warm sunny day like it is today. Warmer sunny day.
All right.
Does that
Thank
help?
You very much, Lou.
You got
Mecklenburg
it.
Duncan, right?
Yep.
Thank you.
Just remember MD, and I think you should be able to find it at your local hardware store. Let's talk with, I love Beloit. This is Larry, who's up in Beloit. Hey, Larry, good morning. Hold on. Come on, computer. Hello, Larry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, I was wondering, a few days ago, our house is 15 years old. We built it new. And a couple days ago, and they did it again this morning, after we used the toaster in the kitchen here, when I unplug it, I pull it straight out, and I've been seeing little sparks. And I was just wondering, is that something that I should get an electrician to look at? Or
when you pull the toaster out and the toaster's not activated... In other words, you've made the toast, and the thing is up. It's not like it's drawing electricity. It's sparking.
Right. Right.
It shouldn't spark. Yep. It shouldn't spark at that point. So there could be. Now, how old is the toaster?
Oh, man. I'm 3-4 years old, maybe a little longer than that.
Do you have other appliances on the countertop that you use that you could try out and see if the same thing happens?
I could, yes, sir.
Yeah, do you have like a mixer or something like that? If it's not sparking there, okay, if you try that a couple times. Like when you unplug the toaster, does it do it every time?
It just started doing it a couple days ago.
Okay. So try with a couple other appliances. If you're getting the same sparks again from those appliances, then we need an electrician to come out and possibly look at that device. It could be, you know, what can happen with those devices. Is it a GFCI device or is it just a regular outlet?
It's just a regular outlet here in the kitchen. It doesn't have, like, you know, like in the bathroom, if water got on it.
It's not, and it's not near the sink?
No, sir. No, it's right on the kitchen.
Okay. It could be that outlet, just that receptacle needs to be replaced because they can loosen up over time, the contacts in there, and that might be what's going on. But try the other appliances as well and see what happens if that makes it any better. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break for news. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio.
If you have questions about your house, he's the one to call.
Now back to your handyman hero. Your host was the most, Lou Manfredini.
On House Smarts Radio.
Blue man, blue sky, you're my sunny day.
Welcome back. 877-213-4LOU.
Down your love my way. Down your love my way.
This is Sharon in Woodridge. Hi, Sharon. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. It's about a humidifier.
All right.
I have a brand new gas hot water heater in spring and a brand new furnace at the same time. I put them both in. So.
Wow, you're a talented lady. You put them. You want me to get you some work? You're putting in furnaces and water heaters.
My dad was a builder.
Oh, that's
the contractor.
Come on, give me your number. I got lots of people that could call you.
So anyway, I have a HE360 humidifier. Seems pretty big. The guy put it on the front of the furnace. But at night, it's so loud in my bedroom that in the vent, the return vent, that I have to go downstairs and turn it off. And that was installed, both were installed in spring. So now,
hold on. So the humidifier, it's a fan-forced humidifier?
Oh boy, I don't know.
But when you say it's loud, what is it that
I think you're right? Yeah, it is.
What are you hearing?
Just a loud noise, like it's as if something is amplified over and over. You know, like louder and louder and louder.
And when you say you go turn it off, what do you do? Take the dial and just turn it off?
I just turn the dial off. Yeah.
And then the sound goes away.
Oh yeah, I turn it completely off, and then. I don't hear it anymore. I just hear the heat.
In your old furnace, did you have a humidifier as well?
Well, I had that one because it really was new. It wasn't even a year old, so that's why I had to put it back on the new furnace. But I had it on the side.
Well, that doesn't matter.
And this one,
that doesn't
matter. Put it on the front.
Yeah,
oh, really?
No, I mean,
yeah, I thought that was the whole thing.
It's on the plenum side, meaning that it's connected to the ductwork that actually the warm air is rising from, correct?
Well, if you face the furnace, it's right in front of you.
Okay, so I'm looking at the furnace and the bot. You like the color? What kind of furnace is it? What brand is it?
Oh my gosh!
Okay,
don't know.
It doesn't matter. But when you're looking at it, it's a gray box or green box down like waist level, correct?
Yes.
And then above is the shiny metal, and then there's the humidifier right in front of you.
Yeah.
And if you if you go down there after we're done and you put your hand on that metal will be warm. I'm just making sure it's all installed correctly. There could be, with the noise that you're hearing, maybe there's a loose piece of metal in the installation that's vibrating, that's causing this, that it could be tightened up, or maybe the filter that's in there that the water goes down, the cartridge there is not quite set right. It could be something as simple as that to quiet the unit down. Mm-hmm. I've had this happen with other humidifiers where it's just not quite clicked in all the way, and you can get a sound or a vibration from it. You shouldn't really hear anything from it. I will say that in our home, when the humidifier's on, I can hear the water running through the system sometimes because it's flowing through there, but it's not a sound that is distracting. But it could just be as simple as something's not quite clicked into place.
And then I see, the wires, and maybe because it was on the side before, I saw wires that are spliced together with a cap on them.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is all this?
Well, it needs that. I mean, it does need, they usually run off low voltage, and so there are wires that do connect it to get it to run. That's not out of the realm. Okay. Do you have a regular person that services this? When's the last time
you... Not really. I had a mechanical engineer install them both, but I don't want to call him back.
Okay. So when is the last time you had these things cleaned and checked?
Well, he put it in spring.
You put it in the spring. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's brand new.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and another thing is I'm smelling gas, a little tinge of gas, and I thought it was from the hot water heater. I had a gas company come out during summer, and he says, I'm not smelling it. I'm like, okay, two of us, a friend of mine and myself, smelled it. And I keep smelling it, just a little tinge of gas.
Okay, well, the gas...
So that's another problem.
Wait. So you called the gas company?
Yeah, and they came out and they
Their meter. Did they come with a device?
Of course, I don't know if he was just scared of COVID and wanted to get in and out. I don't know.
Well, if you're smelling gas, that's not a... We need to get that checked out. And I would contact, I guess for you, it would be NICOR. They will come out pretty quickly. And that's not that's a whole separate issue. So, but
right.
I think that if there's a gas issue and you had somebody install it, that's not necessarily a contractor.
No, he's
got
a mechanical.
Got it. Okay. So, all right. let's get a reputable HVAC company out there to check this out. They can also check out the gas thing for you as well. But this is probably an installation problem. You don't want to go into the winter without the humidifier working properly. And if the noise is going to drive you crazy and you're going to, you know, cut this thing off, don't do that. So somebody like Dykstra Home Services, they service the Woodridge area. You got a pen or a pencil?
I do. 800-421-3220. I have it.
All right, call them, have them come out, tell them what's going on, and they should be able to make sure that everything... I'm worried about the gas. That's not anything to mess around with. And if NICOR can't find it, which is crazy, they should be able to find it. If you really smell that, start with the gas company, but call Dykstra to come out and check this whole thing out, and they should be able to quiet it down for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Here's one of my favorite things. It's something that we sell at our Ace Hardware as well. It's Green Gobbler. It's a sink cleaner. Green Gobbler dissolves and liquefies hair, soap, paper, or grease so you can forget the dirty work of plunging clogged toilets and backup drains once and for all. Safer than using corrosive sodium hydroxide in bleach. Green Gobbler's revolutionary formula doesn't damage the drains, the pipes, and the septic systems. It's in sinks. It sinks through the standing water and works faster and more effectively than most other drain uncloggers on the market. Green Gobbler maintains free-flowing pipes and drains because the ultra-thick formula clings to the pipes, keeping them free and working. Green Gobbler is fast. Within minutes, it liquefies hair, oil, and soap. And yet, it's the fast-working drain opener that is safe to use in pipes, toilets, sinks, tubs, and showers. It does all with no toxic fumes. Finally, power meets green. Cleaning a clog has never been easier. To find these and other products, visit your local Ace Hardware store today or online at acehardware.com. Ace is the helpful place.
What questions around your house are driving you crazy?
When do I need to...
I don't know what to do.
Well, before you get to work on your to-do list for the weekend, call Lou.
Is there something I can help you with, Karen?
I hope so.
I'm sorry, we're completely out of time.
He's taking your calls live, right here, right now, on House Smarts Radio.
I crank myself up even on the rejoins. 877-2134 Lou, this is Ginny in Glenview. Hi, Ginny. She's listening to her radio. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you, Lou?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Well, I had a problem with my bathtub faucet. The water diverter doesn't pull up all the way, which doesn't allow the shower to work. Now, I haven't used the shower in a number of years. I'm kind of a bath person. What do I do?
Well, so if it's not been used a lot, then, in other words, you can pull it up, but it doesn't seal.
When I pull it up, it doesn't pull up all the way, so it doesn't cut off all of the water that's coming.
Okay. Okay. I mean, in a perfect world, you may end up having to replace that whole spout, that whole diverter. But before you do that, let's try and lubricate it a little bit and see if that helps. Today is somebody should be calling the Superzilla people because they're getting free advertising today. Superzilla is a bio-based lightweight oil that you can find at an Ace. Spray that on the little stem that the handle is connected to on the spout, okay?
Okay.
And then also while you're there, stick the sprayer up the spout and spray it up there a little bit. Give it about 10 minutes. Then I want you to articulate that up and down a few times and see if it ends up freeing it up. I bet there's some calcium buildup, as you mentioned, that you don't use it that much. And then see if now when you fire that, you pull that up and you get the shower, it cuts off more of the water. It may not cut it all off, but enough that you get nice pressure coming through the shower head. If you're not successful, let me ask you, Ginny, how old is, do you have any idea how old that fixture is and everything in there?
It's probably about, I would say, 17 years old.
Is that how old the home is?
No, the home is older than that, but we had the bathroom remodeled when we moved in.
Okay.
And they put in all new fixtures, the tub and all of the and stuff like that.
And is it just a standard spout? It's nothing fancy. It's just a standard looking spout?
Yeah, it's by American Standard.
Okay.
They did it.
Okay. So when you're doing this little oiling, you know, when you go to buy the folks at Glenview Ace will have this spray that I'm talking about. But when you go to do all this, when you're looking at that spout, if you put your hand on the bottom of the spout and you feel at the back, at the very belly of the spout on the bottom against the wall, if you feel like there's a hole there with your finger, then chances are there's an Allen wrench that you're going to put up there to loosen. And then that whole spout's going to pull off. And then you can go back to the Ace if you're unsuccessful with this and say, I need a new one of these. And then you just slide it back on and tighten up that Allen wrench, and you just replace the spout.
Oh, okay. So the faucet does not have to be replaced eventually. It's just the inner workings of it. Is that it?
Well, of the spout itself.
Okay.
That's it. But try the oil, the lightweight oil thing first, and I think that you may be successful just with that. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, we need to take one quick break, and then we'll be back right after this. 877-213-4LOU. That phone number, by the way, is going to we'll still be on the West Coast if you want to call in if you didn't get through on today's show. Happy to have you participate in our show out on the West Coast as well. Just call 877-213-4LOU after 10 o'clock this morning. Hey, our next caller, Lindsay, let's give them a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, windows. Hey, if you're working remotely and you don't have enough room, let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. And we'll give that call, or we'll give that hat, rather, to Ellen, who's in Chicago. Hi, Ellen. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
Good.
Good. I have a question. My neighbor, she keeps getting woodpeckers. She's got like a stucco front, and then I think she's got wood, and they peck on the wood, and I think they come between her walls and have babies. What can she do about that?
Those woodpeckers. Those
I know.
Man. Okay, we had a call.
They're vicious.
They are. We had a call earlier this morning. So one of the tricks is to take a little fishing line with a couple of nails over where the wood area is, crisscross back and forth with the fishing line. It doesn't have to be like a super tight mesh, but just enough that the fishing line is away from the wood, like a couple inches. Use some galvanized nails so that it pulls it away. They won't want to get tangled up in the fishing line, and they'll go somewhere else. But then the other thing to do is, are you familiar with a suet bird food? It's like a block of sweet deliciousness.
Right.
You can buy these suet baskets and hang it either from a tree somewhere else or on one of those hanging basket wires, you know, one of those arms that you can stick in the ground. pull them and feed them somewhere else. Retrain the woodpeckers to come somewhere else for their feeding.
Oh, good idea.
I mean, the fact that they're making, you know, that they're raising a family in there is not good. But the combination between the fishing line and the fishing line and then feeding them in another spot in the yard, like in the middle of the yard, even better, should solve the problem.
You know, I think she put some flashing or sheeting up there.
Right.
Metal sheeting.
I mean,
does that work too?
I mean, it can. The thing is, it, you know, it flashes, and it typically only by making the webbing with the fishing line wider, you know, than an area like that. The issue is the birds see it, but you don't necessarily see it, and you don't have like this, you know, thing hanging
That's
on
true.
The side of your house, so it doesn't look as, you know, like, what's going on at your friend's house? There's all this shiny stuff flapping in the wind. So we just want the birds to see it, not you.
Sir, can I just ask you one more quick one?
Well, we got 30 seconds.
Okay, you know, the outside spigot for the faucet downstairs
yep.
is the shutoff for that. And I'm having a hard time. It still drips a little bit outside, and I'm having a real hard time shutting it, twisting it, so it'll stop leaking.
Okay,
that,
so on the, where you turn it off on the inside, right? Is it a round valve that you turn off?
It's the round one, yeah.
On the inside of the house.
Right, it's okay. round.
So there's a stem that the handle is connected to, right?
Right, right in the middle.
Then there's a nut underneath that.
Okay.
Try tightening that nut a quarter of a turn.
Oh, okay, to the right, right?
To the, correct, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning, and have a wonderful day. And just a reminder that you can follow us. We have a YouTube channel for House Smarts TV. If you go to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel, we're reposting a bunch of information to help you in and around your home, stuff that I think you'll find lots of different segments and things that we've done over the years that I think is super helpful. So go to YouTube, subscribe to YouTube, go to YouTube and subscribe to House Smarts TV, and all that information will be there. And we're posting new stuff all the time and reconfiguring it all so that you can, you know, be smarter working inside your home. And then think about following us on Instagram as well, at House Smarts. And there's more to do there as well. We've also got our Noodaloo 2 up there on our Facebook page from today, No Ladder Pro. No Ladder Pro. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I so appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy this sunny day. Stay positive. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio. Big thanks to Lindsay, Bob Ferguson, Joe Brand, and Don Kleppen. Have a great weekend, everybody.